When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What the heck is going on, everybody? Welcome back to my podcast, the No Bad Dog Podcast, the number one dog training podcast out there. Appreciate you guys listening. This is an amazing podcast about somebody who, sometimes I just have to give people an honest opinion, whether they like it or not. My job is to not tell people what they want to hear. It's what they need to hear. As you guys know, I am not in the dog business. I am in the people business. Nobody gives a crap if you bring your dog to a dog trainer and they say, hey, look what I can do. That's the point, right? That's their job. That's their profession. There's no secret there. I think the real success and the real hard thing to do in our industry is to teach dog owners how to be successful. That's going to be the most sustainable thing. That's going to be the most valuable thing. And that's what this conversation is about. It's a lovely dog owner having a hard conversation with myself about like, hey, this isn't going to work. You need to make changes. You need to make serious changes. Like I said in the title, three healers plus another dog from an Amish, siblings, like what could go wrong? Like everything goes wrong. And this is just a healthy conversation. I think this can be really valuable for you guys. And I hope that you enjoy it. If you guys are listening to this, do me a solid favor. We do this absolutely for free. Leave us a review. It would mean the world to me. We spend a lot of time on this podcast. I'm pre-recording all these things because we're about to hit the road for a month. We're spending a lot of time, time away. I'm actually watching my son right now playing outside, and I'd love to be out there, but I'm here instead, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to be honest. We'd really appreciate you guys leaving us a review, downloading, subscribing, however you're listening to this podcast. Enjoy the podcast, guys, and I hope you have a wonderful day, and I hope that this is helpful. So what's going on?
Okay, so it's a situation with four dogs.
Okay.
And them not getting along. There's just so many issues, and obviously they need obedience, they need training, they need a lot of things, but I'm having a hard time with the schedule because really quick, just to give you a background, I have a 9-year-old healer, blue healer, and then when he was like maybe 4, we got another dog, just a mutt, like a hound mutt. She's sweet, really small. They get along really great. And then I was living at the time, I just moved. I was living with my boyfriend at the time. And he, like a couple years ago, brought in a Texas healer, a puppy. And that was fine, whatever. But he ended up dying from some juvenile lymphoma or something before he even turned a year old. Super great dog, though. But my boyfriend, I just really love that dog. And so he went back to the Amish farm and picked up 2 more puppies, brothers, Texas healers, but I think one's more of a collie mix. He's mm-hmm. got the exact markings of a collie. That whole litter mate syndrome, I think, is maybe real. I don't know.
Definitely.
I guess we definitely have a different approach to obedience, puppies in general. I like a well-behaved dog, and I've heard you mention before, like the unicorn dog or whatever. Mm-hmm. And apparently that's what I've had in the past. I've had a dog when I was on my own for the first time, off leash, and I never even trained her to be. She was just like a fabulous dog. And then I inherited my mom's dog that was a Paws for Cause, breeder dog. So she was like already obedient, mm-hmm. And then I got the healer Bear, the first healer, and he was, we took him to puppy class and stuff. We took all of them to puppy class. But the brothers just, one of them started attacking the other basically. Mm-hmm. And it was getting bad. And my boyfriend was just oblivious, he would put them right back together after one attacked the other. And the stress that it caused me, you know, and that doesn't help because they sensed that. And I think one of them was actually resource guarding me, you know, because I don't know, whatever. But so then Wilson, the one that was attacking the brother Leo, he and my dog, Bear, got into it and sent Bear to the hospital. And then like 2 weeks later, he got impaled with a foot long stick right through his chest, which missed everything, thank goodness, but it broke inside by his ribs. So then he was like in recovery. Like, so I took the spare room for a while. This was back in September. Cause he couldn't be excited, you know, like he was healing. I had to drain his wounds every day. And then I just stayed in that room, you know, and I kept the dog separated cause I was really afraid that Wilson was going to attack Leo or Bear again. And I don't know. There was like no discipline whatsoever. And then my boyfriend ended up in the hospital to get his appendix removed. And I was afraid to let the dogs out of the cage, his dogs out of the cage. Cause like they get so crazy cause they're puppies. They're excited. They don't have enough energy. I mean, they don't have enough like outlet to get their energy out. They didn't have any discipline and they would jump up and try to like nip, you know, just like grab my hair or whatever. That's just, they're nippy dogs. I know about the breed a little bit, you know? And so I had his partner business come over and help me take him out. And right away, Wilson attacked Leo. And then for some stupid reason, he wanted to try it again later. And he attacked him again. I mean, they were both playing ball outside. They were fine. And then one of them just attacked the other one. Like a girl that looks just like me. She was in a black jacket. She had her hair pulled back. I mean, she looked like me. Wilson looked up. I think he thought it was me and then just went for his brother. And so Steve, I couldn't even be in the house. I was so stressed out. He lifted him up from his tail. And that's the only way that he can like get the two off each other. Cause, and that's what happens. Like Wilson will like lock on. He'll lock on. He won't let go. Like I've had to rip his, you know, mouth off of Leo before. But the funny thing is Leo would never attack back until like the last two times. Then he started attacking back, you know, which is kind of good in a way, right? That he's like preserving himself, but it just got, and then since then they've been separated. So Wilson lives outside now and he's got a little hole to go into the garage that's like heated in the winter. And he's been separated from everybody since. And my two have been separated from Leo because Pear is like really reactive too, you know, since he's gotten that stick impaled and he was gotten to a fight with Wilson. And so he's like really on guard.
So what would you say your goal is with all this going on? Because obviously
I don't know. There's just so much. I guess my goal. This is my goal.
Okay.
Like I need a schedule. There's just too many dogs involved, and I need like okay for Bear. I wrote it down. I know I'm all over the place. Let's see where like. I'm so sorry. Bear, he needs obedience. They all need obedience. Mm-hmm. He needs confidence building. Like he is afraid of any little noise. Like this new place I'm in, I'm next door to neighbors. Like we had 2 acres before. It's like every little noise, he's like, what? And barks and barks. I had to put up a 6-foot fence next door because they have a dog and that dog can like put his head up. He was so big, he could put his head over the fence and Bear just wanted to attack him. Which he's not usually like that, you know? So less reactive for him, less dependent, in just the, you know, the confidence building for Brandy. She's starting to get like a little, you know, they're pack dogs now. So she reacts when he reacts.
Yeah. I would say that they're all going to need very similar things, right? Confidence, obedience, control, boundaries, so on and so forth. But what is the biggest problem that you're dealing with now? Because they're all going to need the same thing. I can promise you that they're all going to need the baseline foundation that they're probably lacking currently. But in your, like your everyday life, what is the things that you want to try to focus on the most?
Well, I guess I just need to see if this is a realistic goal or not. But the one dog that was attacked a lot, he is like the best out of all of them, to be honest with you. Like, because I've been working with him more, because I feel bad. I didn't know if he was going to start becoming aggressive because of being attacked, but he's not. And he goes to his place. He I tell him to drop something, he drops it. I tell him to leave it, he leaves it, you know, like, mm-hmm. like his basic obedience. And he's such a good dog. I mean, he is just like, he's a healer. He always wants to be around you. He likes to play. My older dog doesn't even want to like fetch anymore, you know? So I'm kind of at a loss what to do with him as far as play. So I would like to take Leo in with these two, which I don't know if that's a reality or not, because I think Bear would get jealous, but just so Wilson can get back into the house, you know, because Dave knows that no one's going to take Wilson, you know? I don't know if it's a fear reactive thing for him or just like if he's got a screw loose in his head, mm-hmm. you know, but he's going to be euthanized. I had a behavioralist come out and he said that, yeah, he needs to either be euthanized or he's got to be an only dog.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my goal would be to like train these two really well. So if I tell him to leave it or, you know, leave Leo alone or go to place or something, that he could be part of this too, because right now he's locked in a room 9 hours a day while Dave's at work, and then he comes out, plays a ball with them for 5 minutes, and then goes and plays with Wilson. He's like divided too. He's got two dogs that he doesn't have the time for, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like you have to get all your ducks in a row here, because you obviously have a lot going on. Healers are really high class working dogs, and so we got to organize this in a way that's realistic, because there's too much going on to narrow down exact training scenarios. So right now, would you say how much time do you spend with the dogs with training? I mean, do you work a lot, or?
Now that I'm back at my place, he's got a big yard. There was always stuff to do. Like, so the dogs always came second, and that's one of the reasons why I moved back here to a smaller place, easier to take care of. So now I have like the weekends, and I have like an hour before work during the week. Okay. You know, that I can, you know, even a couple hours at night. And this is another thing. I've been just really exhausted. Like, I have anxiety already, you know, and this is just like I couldn't even take them for a walk because I was like so fearful. I had to have a friend come with me, you know, because mm-hmm. like he would pull and stuff. But I'm getting over that now. I'm getting better. So I have more time. I have like the weekends. Like I said, I could do a couple hours in the daytime. And then like I work from 12 to 7.
Okay.
During the week.
Okay. So it sounds like the biggest problem is going to be the two siblings, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my suggestion is, like I said before, healers are extremely high class working dogs. Each individual healer takes a considerable amount of time, patience, training, outletting, physical and mental. If you don't, there's a couple caveats to all this. If you do not give the dogs the proper stimulation, both mental and physical, then no matter what you do, they're not going to be successful. So that means they really, really need good outlets, right? So physical outlets, making sure that they're getting exercise, they're getting ample amount of running and physical exertion, if you will. Also, it's important that they get the mental stimulation that they need, So if they all don't have good obedience, it doesn't matter how much money you spend or how much you care, you're not going to be able to get anywhere. You have to make sure that you have really good control over these dogs, because the two siblings, like you said, are very, 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 they're going to keep going after each other, or one of them is going to go after the other, because there's that sibling rivalry that dogs have that is very real. Most everybody that I talk to that have siblings pretty much deal with the same thing to some degree. That doesn't mean siblings can't get along, because they can, but when they live with each other, these things typically happen. And especially if it's like with males, or if it's like a really pushy male and a female. So you overall have to have four healers in a house would take almost a dedicated full-time person to make it work. And right now you don't have a lot of time to make this as successful as it should be. So I think you have to make realistic sacrifices here to figure out, like, okay, what is going to be realistic? Because each, like I said, each one of these dogs is an incredible amount of work. So I guess your game plan should be getting really good obedience with the siblings and being able to, because right now it's an absolute mess. It's a disaster. Right, you have mm-hmm. people coming over, grabbing dogs by the tails, hanging them up in the air. They're fighting. They're biting each other. The other dogs are. It's just a mess. So you need to pull back and spend. The reality is you may not have time to make this successful at all. Like, I mean, I've had that conversation with many dog owners where, like, you do not have the time to make this work. Period. So you can either keep managing the situation and cut your losses and not get mad that it's not working and not get frustrated that they're fighting because you just don't have the time, or you rehome some of the dogs in order for this to be successful, because with your schedule, you should have like an older dog that doesn't need much, but you have four high-class Olympic dogs that all need a significant amount of exercise physically and a significant amount of training, and you don't have the time. So that's where I would start off with I want to be efficient. I want to be honest, and I don't want to waste your time. Oh, yeah. That it's like, okay, we have these four high class working dogs and they're savages, right? They're chasing, they're grabbing, they're killing, they're shaking. They're just little Tasmanian devils. That's why they were bred. I mean, they're sweet and they're fun and they love to work and all that stuff, but they're very, very, very stimulating working dogs, right? I mean, in the field, these dogs are supposed to be pushing 2,500 pound cattle around like it's nothing, right? So,
oh yeah. Yeah, I know. I see that. I get it. And I had a feeling that that's what you were going to say. I have a question too. Like, I'm really into like trying to figure things out with these dogs too. Cause like Wilson, the one that attacked, and it might be because he's like by himself a lot outside in this big crate or kennel or whatever you want to call it. But like when I let him out, I have to throw the ball. Like he just like yipes like crazy. Like that's like the only thing that he cares about. And it's always been like that. He loves the ball. And you'll throw it, he'll take it right back, he'll put it right back down to you. But then if you don't pick it up right away, he gets like angry, you know. So that's impulse control, I guess. But then after that, after I throw it a few times, I go around and pick up the dog poop and he's right beside me. He's like, it's like a comfort thing. He's like, he's got to have that ball in his mouth. Like he'll see a deer and he'll kind of run over to it, but he's more interested in the ball. He won't even let the ball out of his mouth. He tries to bark with the ball in his mouth. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. But I guess I've been looking back at videos I took when they were puppies, and he started taking toys from Leo. There were signs, you know, Leo at first wouldn't allow him, but then he must have been in when Dave wasn't looking or something, and then he just would let him take it. He was like really passive, you know. Leo would start like, or Wilson would like, I guess I'm trying to figure out if, and I know you can't do without looking at them, whatever, probably, but like, how do you know like, if a dog really has like a few screws loose, like if they're like their DNA is just not good. And it's weird because his brother's fine, you know?
Typically it's going to be, in my experience, like when I find dogs who have this neurological behavioral problem, right, when they're born, is really dangerous behavior with no triggers at random is when that typically, that conversation happens. Meaning like the dog is sitting on your lap and then attacks you. The dog is walking next to you happily and then attacks you. The dog is like, those are like, okay, not making any sense. But what you're saying doesn't have anything to do with that. You're saying
I didn't think so. Yeah, because he hasn't attacked anybody other than, but it will be, it does seem like it's random. Just for example, I came home, like both dogs came up to me. I let them out, other pens when I was comfortable with it. And like, I was just trying to like, just pet them, you know, like, hey, how's it going? And then Leo Wilson will give a warning. He does his, and I know. And then Leo knew too, because he jumped up on the table, you know? And I'm like, oh shit, it's going to start, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to like, just get him out of the area. Like, it's almost like he didn't like me touching his brother, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I think it was resource guarding with me. Because Dave says he's never has a problem when I'm not around, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe it is me. But, and then so I'm like, I'm trying to like, kennel him, you know, like put him more towards their kennel. And then Wilson just went at it. He just went at it. And that's when Leo actually attacked back. I mean, it was, it's traumatizing. Oh, yeah. I'm sure you've seen it a lot of times, but it's just like, I've only seen it on TV or whatever. And just see that like aggressive, like they're animals, they're wild animals, you know?
Yeah. They're also extremely, extremely, extremely high class working dogs. And so they are the most savage, some of the most savage breeds you can ever get. And they typically are not successful and or happy or fulfilled unless they are actively living on a farm doing what they're supposed to do. I've had clients, and there are clients out there that definitely get a healer and know the assignment and spend a lot of time, energy, and efforts into making it work. If they can do it, great, but most of them can't. You have four, and you're spending 15...
No, actually, I have three.
Three.
One's a mutt.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Three. So yeah. Three, you know, three of these dogs, and, you know, we might spend 15 minutes per dog per day, which is like... not even on their radar, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think you want to do? Because like I said, realistically, you don't have the time to make this successful.
Okay. What I want to do is I want to be able to at least make Wilson adoptable, you know? I don't think it's fair for him because he is like the highest strong one, you know? Like he needs to work, and I don't know if I would love for him to be able to do what he's meant to do or to be with somebody that's way more active, you know, just cause he's alone. I guess some dogs, it doesn't really matter, but I think for him, it does maybe, I don't know, but just that would be the ultimate thing for him to be trained enough for someone to take him.
I would say that, there's two options. You either hire a trainer to help you do that, or you adopt the dog to anybody that has the time, because right now you don't have the time. So it comes back down to the same variable of, oh, I want to get this dog trained enough to get him adopted, but you don't have enough time to train the dog, period. So I think that you could either hire a trainer to help you with this, and you can say, hey, this is what we've done, or give a gift certificate or something like that to a dog, just because the way that I see it is if you were to have enough time to get this dog trained for adopting, you would have enough time to train this dog to keep. So,
true.
You know what I mean? So I, and again, I'm,
but I don't know if I could ever trust those two together again.
Right. But yeah, but aren't you trying to get like adopt one out? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, I want to do that. Like if I could convince Dave to do that,
right.
Like, he doesn't think that he thinks that he'll either be a liability. He'll either attack like a kid or something someday or another dog. Cause people, you know, like if he starts behaving fine, they might loosen their, you know, fear. Oh, he's fine. He's fine. And then he might just all of a sudden attack again. Cause that could happen, you know?
Like yeah. They're probably not going to get along. So that there's a great likelihood that definitely will happen again.
But even if he's rehomed to someone else, he doesn't want that liability, you know?
Well, you're not going to rehome them both, right? You're just going to rehome one of them. So that wouldn't be the issue. Cause he doesn't like his brother. So if you rehome that dog to a single household or with a dog with other dogs, that's not going to be the issue because you're not adopting them together to somebody. You're adopting one of them.
But he did attack someone. He attacked Bear. That's not his brother though.
Yeah. So you'd probably want to give him
other dogs.
He might.
Yeah. Only
he might.
Yeah.
It doesn't, but that's the thing is the amount of work that is needed to go into these dogs. You have no idea really what these dogs are capable of just yet because we haven't spent any time training the dogs. So once you give this dog to somebody that has the time to spend training, then we can make decisions on who this dog is. Because right now, from my standpoint, from a professional standpoint, it's just a mess for the dogs. And so we can't really judge them off of their behavior, their personality, or their actions currently because they're not getting what they need. So it's really not fair to say, oh, well, he's going to attack maybe another person. I'm like, yeah, but he's really in a bad situation right now, like a really bad situation. So we can't really judge. It's the same thing like when we go to a shelter to help a dog out and they're sitting there barking at me hysterical and they're habitually barking. We do this all the time and we pull the dog out and they're the sweetest dog ever. But because of the environment that they're in, that's how they behave. And so you have a dog that needs so much and is getting so little and you really don't know what this dog is capable of on either end of the spectrum just yet, so we can't really judge to say, yeah, he definitely doesn't like his brother, but also he's a healer not getting any work. And so he's frustrated, he needs to outlet stuff, and he's taking it out on anything around him. So
that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, that's just my experience. Is like, what if he, you know, what if he went to, and again, listen, you know, I'm playing tough love with you. Again, I'm just giving you my honest opinion here. If you had somebody that, you know, maybe... like I see a lot of people who have these dogs that, you know, work from home and or live on a farm or live, you know, when they're running the dogs in the ATVs and they're doing off-leash training and the dogs are like pooped at the end of the day. And you never see any of this aggression or frustration or any of this stuff, right? Because they're not cooped up. They're getting worked. They're outside. They're running. They're chasing. And they never have any behavioral issues because they don't feel the need to take it out on other things. So
they're fulfilled at that point. Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying. And I think it's responsible to say like, well, I don't know if he would get along with another dog. And I think that that's just it is we don't really know what he would do. But I think, again, if you have somebody that is experienced with the breed that says, I don't care if this dog gets along with other dogs because I'm going to be able to work this dog and they're not going to have any affiliation with other dogs, even though they're around, then... Because that's kind of like how working dogs are, is they're around a bunch of other dogs, but they're not interested with each other because they're working, you know? So
yeah.
Anyway, that's just my perspective on that is, yeah, we could say.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
He doesn't like other dogs, but it's not really consistent, which tells me that he's just being frustrated. And if he has an opportunity and he's pissed off and he's stimulated and he's aggravated and he just snaps and takes it out on the other dog, that doesn't justify to me of like having a high class working dog being aggressive. It just means that he's frustrated, which makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. The problem around here is there's not that many people that work with dogs. Like, that's all positive only, and that's not going to work. I don't know. I don't think that would work for him. He's tough, He needs corrections. I mean, I
It's
really believe in your philosophy. It's like, you can't just always do positive only, because it doesn't work with all dogs,
Yeah, it's not yeah, no, totally. I'm with you, obviously on the same page. It's just, it's not even it's just like 90% of people are on my philosophy. Like, everyone understands this. It's just the people that are the loudest that say otherwise, right? So you'd be surprised how many people you can work with in your area that actually understand. Like, yeah, we're not going to pay a dog for trying to kill another dog, and we're not going to pay a dog for not coming back, and we're not going to avoid a situation. We're going to be assertive. Like, you'd just be surprised. Like, there's so many like radical people out there going like never, never, never. But then the people who are actually working dogs and taking on clients are usually the people that are just too busy to shout from the rooftop. So I think if you did a little bit of research, you would find easily some people in your area that practice more of a balanced approach, I think.
I've been looking. I've
Where?
called. People don't call me back.
Yeah, you say, "Hey, I got three healers. What do I do?" And they're like, "What?
No,
All right, where do you where?"
actually, I don't even say that. I live in outside of Detroit, Michigan.
Okay. I know that there's a person, I can't remember the name, shoot. There is a person in Detroit. I can't remember their name. Like, where in Detroit? Because there's a, what is it, not Alexandria, there's a, what's that city I worked in after? Forget what it's called.
You actually came
Yeah,
to Michigan?
I've been out to Michigan. I worked at shoot. Extra, oh crap, I forget. I was right outside of Michigan doing some work, and I cannot remember what the heck.
Not sit mean sit.
Nope. It was what's a couple cities outside of Michigan?
Rochester Hills, Ferndale Park,
No,
like Grand Rapids, it's like further away.
nope. I can't remember. I was out there. If you said it, I would remember it. I can't freaking remember what it's what.
Warren, Wayne,
No, it's. I
Oakland.
think it's like literally right outside of the city. Shoot. Anyway,
Monroe.
nope. It might come to me, but I do know some people that are in that area that could help you. So, what I would recommend. Let's see. What I would recommend is doing the best you can to find somebody like even, oh, there it is, Motor City Canine. So I think that's a company that had reached out to me to meet up. Motor City Canine Solutions. They are obviously in the Detroit area. I don't know exactly, but I mean, you might have to travel a little bit to do a board and train, or you might say, hey, I got. See, here's the thing is if you have a really drivey, fun dog to work with that just needs the right, the right outlet. You might work with a trainer and they go, hey, I know somebody that love this dog, because that happens all the time. Like, we don't rehome dogs, but we definitely do work with some dogs sometimes where we're like, man, this is an amazing dog. Probably not best fit for you, but this is an incredible dog.
Oh, I think he would be incredible with somebody, the right person. Both of them. I mean, I really want to take Leo because I just love him. He's just the best dog ever. But I don't know if he'd get along with my older healer because I think he'd get too jealous.
Yeah, it sounds
But
like it.
maybe,
Is your did you say is your husband or your boyfriend?
boyfriend, ex, kind of now. We're still friends though,
Okay.
but.
Okay. So he's kind of like not spending too much time with the dogs, it seems. Okay. All right. My suggestion is, I think you should figuratively and mentally just take a deep breath and go, okay, the brothers probably aren't going to get along. Like you said, the sibling rivalry thing is definitely a thing. I know you said, like, I think it is a thing. It definitely is a thing. It happens all the time. I think that you have some high class working dogs, and if you can if you can rehome at least one of them that is a little too much for the pack, that would be the best decision. I know it's going to be, it's not easy. It's easy for me to say. I know that it's not easy, but I would just say, like, start looking around, and or again, like, if you worked with a trainer, that Motor City guy, I can't remember his name, but
so you think that he would be helpful though, the Motor City guy? He has your philosophy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, well, I've never met him. I don't know for sure. I don't recommend dog trainers often. I just know that he had reached out to me before, and he's got great reviews, and he works with working dogs, and you can tell him I sent you if you'd like, but it seems like he knows what he's doing. I don't know exactly their philosophy or their training style. To be honest with you, I only know like three dog trainers in the industry that I can tell you exactly how they train. Everyone else, unless I've spent some significant time, I typically don't recommend. I'm just saying, I did a quick search in your area, and I recognize him, and I know that he has great reviews. So, I mean, I don't know. He could be a positive reinforcement only trainer, but he's got great reviews and great results. I doubt it, but that's what I would recommend, is looking up to, like, even if you reached out and said, hey, this is what I'm dealing with, and they might say, hey, I know somebody closer in your area or whatever. That's what I would recommend. Yeah. So anyway, talking to these trainers and these, like me and other people that are in, they might give you a whole new outlook on, like, hey, you know, here's what I would recommend, here's what I would do. I just think you need support, and I think you did the right thing. I think I'm a good first step for you to tell you, like, hey, here's where I think you should go, here's where I think you should do. And I think the next step is, you know, realistically, I think you got too much on your plate to be working on actual road mapping. Like, I don't want to sit down and give you a training game plan. I want to be efficient. I want to be realistic. I personally think, considering your schedule, I think you just got a little too much on your plate. And I would try to rehome the male that's causing a lot of your stress and frustration, and then take it from there. And that's the best thing to do. Like, I know you're going to feel bad, and I know it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be the best thing for that dog.
I know. And I'm okay with that. I want him to be happy. I'd rather have him be happy somewhere else than be miserable.
For sure.
Where he's at.
For sure. And you might find, great results. Novi is where I trained at.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's a little west from Detroit, about an hour, I think. So anyway.
Yeah,
did private training there. Somebody flew me out and I did private training there. This is probably like 4 years ago. But anyway, so I was in that area. That's how I know about that gentleman, because he messaged me and said, hey, I'd love to meet up. I love what you do. So I would reach out to them, say, hey, this is what's going on. And they might say, hey, I got a guy right down the road that's perfect for you. Or, hey, come in for a consult. Let me see. And then they'll be able to, like, take it the next step. But I just think, like, I'm going to be honest with you, I think that that's the best. I don't want to waste your time. And, you know, I think the best thing to do is just keep doing what you're doing. Manage it. Keep them separated. If you can spend more time on exercise, that would be the best thing. Like, get them out. Get them running. If you want to do some – I mean – what I would personally do, on a side note, this kind of goes for every dog owner, regardless, this is what everyone needs, is I would start working on basic thresholds, which means start working on getting your dog to ask for permission for certain things from you. Excuse me. It's a very, very healthy thing to do for any dog. So that means, for an example, to make it easy, put one dog on a leash. You're going to do this individually. You walk up to a door and you open the door and you start working on thresholds, which means we don't want the dog to run through. We want to just...
Oh, yeah. We have worked on that.
Perfect. So do that.
Yeah.
Do that often. Do it with other...
They don't eat until I tell them okay.
Perfect.
Like, they wait. Yeah.
Great.
I mean, there's some things that they are good with. I'm showing you all the bad stuff, I guess. But I guess... Okay, go ahead. Go ahead with your thought.
I was just going to say that is a good thing to do. Like, if you do it at the door and the food, that's great. Start doing it other places. Start doing it and pretty much anything. Just start saying, hey, It's everything is not on your terms. You should ask for permission before you just leap into things. That's going to create a very healthy, balanced, can I please have this? Yes, you may. Thank you for asking. Instead of just gimme. And that's just a common thing that dogs start to get into, is this unhealthy cycle of I do what I want, when I want, as soon as I want. And it just creates you to not matter, because they're like mine. And so the moment you start doing thresholds on basic stuff, that's like any single person, I can almost guarantee, even for my dogs, it'll help. It's better. It's always something that helps your relationship.
Okay, really quick. Mm-hmm. I'll work on that. Safely walking the dogs. I still have some anxiety when I walk the dog, because some people don't put their dogs on leashes, and
sure.
If a dog comes towards Bear, he will attack. I know he will, because you know that he's learned to do that now. You know, be attacked or attack. Mm-hmm. So would you recommend having a third leash or pepper spray, or how do I feel more comfortable walking him in case there's another dog that's not on a leash? What would you suggest?
So is the question, how do you handle off leash dogs approaching when you're walking your dog?
Yeah, when he's not off leash trained himself. Yeah. I'll have a leash on him, but he doesn't pay attention when there's another dog around. He just goes crazy.
Sure. And that's normal. Like if there's an off-leash dog harassing you and circling you and coming at you, that's fair.
There could be a dog on a leash and he still goes crazy.
Well, that's just leash reactivity. So here's my answer. Okay. If you don't have good foundational communication skills, which is basic obedience, you can't do anything about it, which means, this is defining that, if you can't get your dog to go into a sit for more than 5 seconds without food and then release on your cue, which is basic sit, they put their butt on the ground, we don't ask them 3 times, we don't correct them, we don't lure, we just ask them to sit. They do not get up or move after 5 seconds, and then you say break. If you can't do that, you can't do anything with the reactivity. The other thing is if your dog doesn't have a fundamental heel command, this is also going to be challenging. Not impossible, but challenging. But at the end of the day, to answer your question, your dog is leash reactive for many reasons. They're frustrated. They're protective. They don't have good foundation on obedience and what else to do. But if you correct your dog, that's going to be the answer, to say you're walking, all of a sudden there's another dog walking and your dog goes, I got to kill you. I'm nervous. I'm mad. I'm upset. Why are you here? Don't live. Get out of my space. You can safely, fairly correct that dog at that time, but you have to have a relationship. That's why I was saying thresholds.
Okay. Gotcha.
So if your dog is used to you saying, no, you cannot do this, and you practice this at home often with a lot of different things, so you get used to the pressure, you get used to the corrections, you get used to you being the person that says yes or no. That's why we do this exercise. Then when you go out and your dog does, I'm going to do this, and you go, no, you're not. And they go, shit, okay. That applies here. You go, yes, sir. Nope. And they go, okay. And then that way you start working through these things. But as a whole, I can go out on a limb here and say that you just don't have the best foundation realistically in order. Right. Yeah. So that's it.
Yeah, I do. They're at level one. They can sit and, you know, place or whatever, but like any distractions, you know, they forget it, you know? Mm-hmm. One last thing. I know you gotta get going.
No, it's fine. Whatever.
They're like attached. Like they've been like stuck in a room, like when I'm at work all day, like for like the last several months. Cause I've separated them, and unfortunately they're so locked in together that it's hard to train them both at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. Some things I can, like place and stuff like that, but other things, like, so they get really anxious when the other one's not around. So how do I, like, with them out
the
scratching
siblings?
The door, or no, the other two, Bear and the Mutt, the older one and the Mutt, they're my dogs. Like, Like I've claimed them. They're at the new place with me now, but I just have a hard time. Like if one has to go to the vet, the other one will just like go crazy if they're not coming. Like, do I just like leave one in the backyard and let them just keep barking while I'm in the house training another one or vice versa? I mean, like, I know it's a silly question.
It's not. I don't think so. I don't think it's a silly question. I think that, so here's the way that I typically handle these situations generally, you know, because I have to answer this generally because I don't really know because I don't know the dogs. But I would just say that typically dogs who are like this, exhibiting these behaviors, these are symptoms, right? So it's like, why do I always sneeze? Why do I always cough? Why do I, you know, whatever it is, right? There's a symptom, right? Why am I sweating? It's because you're hot. Whatever, right? Okay, that makes sense. So with dogs, this is sometimes how I look at these situations to say, why is my dog so anxious that the other dog's not around? And that typically is a symptom of insecurity. So that's what it is. So you have to work on building the dog's security instead of trying to figure out how to turn off the barking. So instead of trying to figure out like, man, like how do I stop sweating? You don't go to this hot place. Like you get into the sauna and you're like, you call a doctor, you go, I'm sweating so much. And they're like, well, okay, tell me a little bit about it. Well, I go into the sauna, it's 200 degrees and I can't stop sweating. They go, get out of the sauna. Oh, right. So I just want to give you a very easy picture to understand. Your dog is anxious, barking, spinning, scratching, whining, etc. So that's the sweating, right? That is the actual symptom. That's why but why? It's because you're in the sauna. That's because your dog is anxious. That's because your dog has lack of security. That's because your dog doesn't feel secure and confident within themselves. So you have to.
So how do you gain that? How do you?
You.
By obedience.
You have to work on it. You have to spend the time. Your dog has coexisting. Your dog is codependent on somebody else to be secure with themselves, which means if you take that dog away from that one dog, then they melt. And that's because the dog isn't confident. So you have to spend the time actually teaching the dog how to be more confident, which is a whole conversation. How do you do it?
Okay.
It's same thing with people. How do you get somebody more confident? Oh, you just take this pill. Boop, you're more confident. Nope. 6 months to a year does it take you to get confident, right? So with dogs, you have to go out and this is exactly what I'm saying is you have to put your dog on a leash and start working on, you don't make decisions, I do. Listen to me. Stop being in the front seat. Stop trying to grab the steering wheel. Like these are the things that you have to start doing in order for your dog to build confidence. So it's a whole thing. It's not a, you know, it's definitely not an hour thing. It's a how do you build confidence in a dog? My short answer is right now, when your dog sees something, they need to be looking at you for guidance. And that's not happening because you're not spending enough time with your dogs in order for that to happen.
Okay.
The more time you spend with your dogs, the more confident your dog will get if you do the right things. So going out and training in public, working on obedience, working on thresholds, working on the ability for your dog to be around other dogs and other people without freaking out through obedience. Even the other day, I brought my dog downtown and he was terrified of this green hose. He's like, holy shit, this thing's going to kill me. I'm like, you're good. Trust me.
And is that your puppy?
Yeah, yeah. And he's 70 pounds and he's like putting on the brakes. It's kind of endearing because he's only 5 months old, but he's a tank, right? So he's putting on the brakes and he's like, I can't go near this green monster. And I'm like, dude.
That is too funny.
Exactly. But like the same thing when you take a dog away from the other dog, he's like, I'm gonna die. And it's real for them. To us, it's like, dude, you're fine. Like, you're good. But to them, it's real. So you have to start working on these things. So, you know, again, it's really a long process, but for an example, doing the place command. So being able to send your dog to a bed so you can come out and you can say with the two dogs that are having issues or one dog is having issues with the separation, you can say place, stay. The other dog, place. You start forcing them to separate themselves from each other in a healthy way with obedience, right? But because you don't have this obedience, you cannot do these things. This is what I'm saying is like the anything that you want to do with your dog comes back down to basic communication. You're like, hey, I want to do all this stuff with these dogs. I want to change all these things with these dogs. I want to see improvements with all these dogs. But unless you can communicate with these dogs, you can't do anything. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's like, you know, I've jokingly talked about writing a book and it'd be 5 pages. If you have a problem with your dog, but you can't communicate with your dog, stop. The conversation that ends there. It takes about 15 seconds for me to actually go through this process, right? It's like, hey, I want to stop my dog from this. How much time have you spent training? Done. Next. Hey, my dog pulls in the leash. How about your heel? Well, next. Hey, my dog won't come back when called. How much time have you spent on recall? Well, next. It goes on and on and on. Hey, I want my dog to be more confident. How much time have you spent? Next. That's what you're dealing with. Is you do not have the time and skill sets to do anything with your dogs to get rid of the symptoms. And that's the biggest thing you're going to be dealing with is the hurdle of you want to change your dog's behavior in a positive way, as we all do. But the reality is, this is most dog owners think like this. So you are completely normal to be thinking the way that you are and everything. But I'm just letting you know that most dog owners come to me and come to other dog trainers, no matter where I'm at in the world, and they say, hey, here's my problem. And I go, okay, I see your symptom, but ask your dog to sit.
I see the videos.
And I'm like, dude.
I learned a lot from you.
Great.
It's very eye-opening. Very eye-opening. you're just like, you are the dog whisperer.
Thank you.
You are meant to, and born, and this is you. You know, I would love to like, and maybe I can email you or you can tell me like how much it would be. Like if I can't get someone to help Wilson, I really want to come out to you. Yeah. I don't know if you'd be all right with that.
We do the 3-day transformation. It would be good for you because it's good for you. Like once you go through the program, you can work with any dog that you want. That's the cool thing is, yeah, if you bring one of your dogs that you want to work on, it's going to be all about you. I'm going to teach you how to be a better handler. I'm going to teach you how to be, you know, build confidence, build structure, build boundaries, build a healthy relationship. Every single person that comes into my 3-day program, no matter how reactive or aggressive or how many bites they have under the belt, goes to group class within 2 days successfully. So,
okay. So my last question is this, he barks like any one of these dogs that I would take, well, except for the mutt and maybe Leo. Mm-hmm. You say that there's hotels around there that accept pets. Like what happens if they bark? Do they kick you out?
No, I don't think so. Dogs bark. For the most part, like your schedule is pretty regimented. So, you come into the hotel, you're with your dog. When you leave, you're with your dog. So, you don't really, unless you want to, you don't really leave your dog for any time frame, unless you get dinner or something like that. But, that's why you're there, is to try to figure out, okay, like, what the heck do I do here, you know? So it's all part of the process. You know, you're like, hey, I have a dog that barks. And you go to somewhere and you're like, my dog's barking. I'm like, yeah, your dog barks. But that's part of the process. That's why you're there. And we'll be able to make drastic changes really quickly just because what you haven't done so far, right? It'd be different if you were like, man, I've been training for 5 years on this dog and I can't figure it out. I'd be like, oh, okay, that's interesting. But for me, you're like, I have all these huge problems with these high-class working dogs and I haven't done anything. And I'm like, great, you're going to see results super fast, mm-hmm, you know? Because I'm like, I'm going to be able to take all these low-hanging fruit pieces off and go bing, 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 bing. Like you see in my videos, you know, people come in. I'm like, put your arm down. Stop looking at your dog. Stop talking to your dog. Go walk forward. Stop pulling. Start popping. Like I just start coaching you. And that's it. Don't hire a dog trainer to help you with your dog. You need to hire a human coach because ultimately you are the person that's going to be 100% responsible for your success. So if you bring your dog to a dog trainer and they go, oh, look what I can do. You go, oh, look, I just paid somebody to tell me and to affirm with me that they know what they're doing. Like my job is actually to not, if you watch my videos, even in my seminars, I may touch the dog for 5 minutes over 48 hours accumulation. Like that's it. So if they leave successful, it's because of them, Not, I mean,
that's what I love about it. That's I do watch, and that's why I'm like stuck on you, because it's like you do teach the human, you know?
Yeah, it's important. It's important.
It's pretty cool.
Thanks.
All right. I know you got probably another call, but thank you so much for taking the time.
You're welcome so much.
Yeah, I got some work to do.
Yes, you do. Good luck. I applaud you and appreciate and respect, you know, what you're doing. And I think you just have to take a deep breath and backpedal a little bit and go, okay, what do we need to do here? And just get organized. And it's going to take some time, but you'll figure it out. Just be smart, be realistic.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Do you allow for any follow-up questions, like through email or anything? Or
I typically don't. The time that you have with me is the time that you have with me, just because, okay. Honestly, I could give you my email. You're going to send me a question and you may not hear from me for 2 weeks, just because we got so much going on. And that's why, again, that's why we did these calls, is people like, you know, all the people on my Instagram, you know, we have millions and millions and millions of people every 30 days watching the stuff that we do. You can imagine the amount of DMs, questions, and emails that we get.
Yeah.
And there just comes
that's
a point.
Awesome, though.
It is. It's good. I'm helping people and I love that. It's my passion. I'm glad that we've built this. But at the same time, I can't spend hours, days on end sitting, writing emails back. Like, you know, who's going to pay my bills? You know, it's like, so I know that you didn't mean that in that way. I'm just letting you know that, yeah, we don't do any of that stuff. Like, everything that we do has to be done through a paywall, just because of the amount of people that are trying to get answers. It's like, okay, if you want answers and you want help, you have to be able to pay for it, because if not, I would be doing things in volunteer work, and that wouldn't be good. I would burn out really quick and be homeless again. So I'd rather not do that. But hey, listen, it was really nice to talk with you, and I wish you the best of luck. And again, you can pay for, you know, you could do this again in the future. You can sign up, pay for it again, you know, in 6 months, 3 months, 2 months, 30 days. I would suggest reaching out to that trainer I recommended and start feeling them out a little bit. Again, I don't know them for sure, but it seemed like they know what they're doing. So that's the next step. Okay.
That sounds awesome. Thank you so much, Tom. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome so much. Good luck.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.